email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good boy. Good boy.
Me? Thank you so much.
Tony Cantwell joins us in studio, and Good Boy is the name of his RTE Player sitcom. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's four episodes, and they're of varying lengths, but you could get it done in 2 hours.
You bash it out in an hour 15, I'd say.
An hour 15.
Yeah. So yes. No excuse is what I'm saying.
And it's autobiographical.
It is. Now, you know, it has a kind of guy kind of walking listlessly through his kind of 30s. So that was more me in my 20s, not being able to hold down a job, not knowing that I had undiagnosed ADHD, and then having a video go viral and changing everything, you know. So that's where my story
So you write it and a mate of yours writes it, who's also in it.
Well, Fergal Costello, who's here in RTE, works for the lab. He directed it. I was in a horror film that he made, a horror comedy. It's actually on Disney Plus now. And then we brought in Hannah Mamelis, incredible writer. And the three of us just kind of worked on it, spoke from our personal experiences, and just tried to make a comedy that was real, but also very unrealistic and silly with flights of fancy, but kind of spoke from our personal experience with empathy.
You must have had the crack making it.
We had so much crack making it that we were annoying the people doing their accounts here at RTE that they actually printed out a thing and put it on our desks being, warning, we can hear every word you are saying. These walls are paper thin. And they printed out like four of them and put them right where every seat was.
Right.
Now, this was a particular block of RTE full of passive aggressive notes. But I feel bad for that. If you have to make a note, it's obviously that you've been pushed to the limit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't wake up that morning and decide, I'm making a note today.
And maybe it was about where you were put beside them. That was the problem.
Sure.
They didn't have a problem. You didn't have a problem. It was just the location thing.
Well, the way they phrased it.
The geography of it.
Yeah, the way they phrased it was kind of like, just to let you know. So we're like, okay, good to know. We didn't stop.
Now, I did know you were shooting it long before it was publicised.
Oh, yeah?
Because you did a lot of it in my local greengrocers, Robbie's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was down getting world famous pepperoni from Robbie's. It's the only place in town you can get it. And he says, we had some of your people in. The other day shooting. I said, comedian Tony Cantwell. So it looks good, doesn't it? Robbie's looks good.
Oh, it's great. And Robbie's in it. Robbie plays a kind of a weird man who smells ham in a fridge.
That's Robbie.
That was him. That was Robbie. And all of his kids came in, even in the working that day.
That's not Robbie. That must be Robbie's dad. Is that Robbie? That's not Robbie.
Well, it was, might be, is that not Robbie?
No.
Oh, well, it was whoever it was, Mr. I don't know. It was apparently the lad who owned the shop was in happy to smell ham.
Right. But maybe I saw a different version of it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway, you've mentioned already ADHD.
Yes.
Right, which is attention deficit hyperactive disorder.
Yes.
And you were diagnosed as an adult.
I was. I was diagnosed last year after waiting ages, you know. I was on the
what
HSC.
What age are you, Tony? Do you mind me asking?
I was 36, so within the last year, you know. 37 tomorrow. So it's my birthday tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Look, thanks very much. Appreciate it. So 36 today, and I was 36, diagnosed. But yeah, I was. I remember just finding myself trying to write a fringe show, and I was like, this, what's going on here? Like, I have everything I need. I have taken a month off my podcast. I've cancelled it, booked no other gigs to write this thing, and I'm staring at a blank page, and I'm like, why can't I do it? Why is the procrastination so great that I can't even fulfill? What is my dream job here with no other distractions in the way? And that's when I was already on the waitlist for the HSC, but I decided to kind of go private and just really get to the bottom of it. Because I've always been a bit of a procrastinator, but I always kind of linked it. I always took it personally. I always just thought I was just kind of lazy.
Is that a symptom, procrastination?
Procrastination's a huge one. Being
late. What are the other ones? Late?
I was late today. Yeah. I was supposed to be here at 3. I was here like 3:05. Hyper-focus. So if there's like a bit of IKEA flat pack furniture to be put together, I unfortunately have to get it put together right now. And I will even to spite myself, you know, sometimes you see a bit of flat pack and you can tell that the door's been put on the other way around.
Yes.
I need to follow through. I need to get that completely finished, you know. So or if it's like locked into editing a video and then, time just escapes me. Time blindness is another one.
That's positive in a way, is it?
It is, but I mean...
When is it a negative? That's something like that.
It would be a negative where like me and my kids playing with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle figures the other day, and I looked up and they were 10 minutes late for creche. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing, you know, or...
What ages are your children?
4 and 2 next month.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was it that... what was the impetus for seeking a diagnosis?
I think I was fed up thinking that I was stupid. I was fed up thinking... I wanted to see, am I what I think I am, which is sometimes stupid or lazy or, you know, lucky to have everything that I have, or is there something else going on here? And if I can, I thought when I was in my 20s, I might have had it, but I was reluctant to get it because I thought I would use it as an excuse for everything. I thought I'd be like, ah, don't, leave me alone. I got ADHD. It'd be very defensive or something. Mm. And then I thought, you know what, if I actually learn about it and if I know that I have it, I think I could forgive myself a little bit more and
be nicer to yourself.
Be nice to myself and not kind of, I need positive momentum to kind of keep going. And when I feel low on myself, I don't really create very well or create a lot.
And what, looking back on school then, how was that?
Well, it was fine. It was, I'm probably the only person I know who did the best in the junior cert mocks and then worse in the junior cert, worse in the leaving cert mocks and then worse in the leaving cert. Normally okay. That goes,
oh,
that
you
goes
went
up. So whenever there was something where you had to really just apply yourself or the, you're, you know, the your knowledge was based on how much you could kind of focus and study, that's when things started to dip. But I also noticed it when I was doing like swimming lessons when I was six. All the kids were getting out, learning how to swim, and I wasn't paying attention. My mom was was up in the boots watching, trying to be like, it's not my kid there, lying on his back with floaties under his legs. And then we had to do like an actual swimming exam, and all these kids started swimming from one end of the pool to the other, and I was like, where did they learn that? That's incredible. And then they were like, blew a whistle, Tony, all right, go on, swim. And I sank immediately to the bottom of the pool. And then my mom was just like, you know, he just doesn't really focus sometimes. If he could just apply himself, that's always what teachers would say. If he could just apply himself. But yeah, I've definitely noticed symptoms from very
So young. What do you know about it then? What do you know about ADHD? What have you learned about it?
What I've learned about it is that there's a part of my brain or people who have ADHD who they don't produce dopamine in the same way. And so they don't really have kind of reserves of dopamine and have to actively seek it out. And they have to actively seek it out by losing focus of what's not interesting to them there and then in the moment and find something that is a bit more interesting.
Uh-huh.
And that can kind of manifest in all sorts of ways. It could be, you know, just I need to get up, I need to move, I need to not listen to this anymore, I need to look at my phone, I need to do something fun. So the fun thing right now is looking at my phone or looking at TV, not leaving early to get the bus to go into work and all these kind of things. You know, it is just a bit of a catch-all.
And does it mellow as you get older?
It does. Well, I actually don't know. I mean, I don't think so, actually. Well, from personal experience, it really ramped up when my kids were born. And I was like, this is a level of kind of procrastination and fog that I've never had before. I'd always wake up and be like, I don't know what I'm going to do today, but I'll figure it out. I'm a comedian. You know what I mean? That's kind of part of it, waking up at 11. But when the kids are born and I'm like, all right, there's like a regimented structure that they have to follow every day. And I just felt completely lost at sea. And I'm like, this feels more overwhelming. And then we were looking to get a house and all these, I don't know if it ramps up, but certainly the things that are required for conversation, you know, increase. Mm. And so, you know, in my case, they became more visible.
So the choice of comedy as a career was enabling in a way.
Yeah, it was. Well, it kind of ended up becoming the only thing I could hold down because right. I was sacked from like five different jobs.
Were you? Because yeah. Because Good Boy is sacked from a number of jobs.
He gets sacked from a number of jobs. Yeah. He can't really hold down like a... like
so what jobs were you sacked from in real life?
In the shoe shop, I was sacked from a shoe shop.
Right.
I was late every single day. And, you know, we exaggerate it in the show where he gets a verbal, written and final warning all on the same day. For me, that was maybe 3 weeks because I was late every day. And then after the final written warning, they were like, look, if you come in late again, we're going to sack you. And I came in late and they were like...
Tony, because I'm the late thing is, it's curious for me because, so you realise you've been late.
Yeah.
You have a phone with an alarm on it.
Yeah.
So what happens then? What's the disconnect?
You have completely turned me around. Thank goodness you're here to tell me this
no,
now.
But, no, I'm
37. I've never heard about this alarm thing. Thank you so much.
I'm curious though. Yeah, like,
if I can just get through to him, I have an idea. I have an idea. Maybe he hasn't thought of this.
No.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I want you to explain it to me. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I'd say it's a mix of like I'm doing something that's more fun to leave on time. And maybe just force a habit. When I'm on time, I feel not within my own body and it feels odd and peculiar.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how has the diagnosis then affected you?
It's affected me like in just forgiving a lot of those kind of things. But then also, I suppose knowing that there are techniques that I can do I mean, I don't know. It's made me feel just a lot more confident with things rather than, I don't feel stupid. I don't feel lazy. I don't beat myself
up. Because you understand.
I understand why I don't read books and prefer audiobooks. And, you know, and I understand that there's elements of other aspects of jobs that I'm very, very bad at. But I am very good at being focused on like editing a video or really trying to fine tune a joke. And there's those kind of things. And I know where my avenues are and I know how best to kind of go down them. And also the understanding in like a relationship. Like my wife's been incredibly understanding of all the cabinet doors that have been left open, but also why I might be like easily overwhelmed or something, maybe for having a deep chat or if I can't quite focus. Sometimes I would find myself given an answer to placate the situation rather than having a deep think about it because it was becoming a bit too much. And now since that, I'm realizing, do you know what? I'm going to think about this and actually come back.
So step back from something.
Step back from something rather than just try and resolve it now to move on to the next thing, you know?
And how is it treated?
It's treated in a lot of different ways. I mean, I was recommended, which I'm still yet to do, kind of the CBT thing yes. for recognizing thought patterns. I personally am, I do take medication for it, which has improved a lot for me. I find myself a lot less overwhelmed. It isn't like some like limitless pill like Bradley Cooper, where all of a sudden, you know, like I can predict the lottery numbers around like that. You know what I mean? But it definitely makes me realize all the things that I actually have to do. And then I can choose what to prioritize. It isn't like boom, 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 bash all these things out. So it's that's helped quite a lot.
I know it's only been up in the player since last week, Friday. But have you had any reaction from people with ADHD?
Yeah, I have. And a lot of people have gotten in touch saying that they appreciate it, just kind of like a bit of a comical take on it. And we didn't really want to get into the weeds of ADHD, but Fergal is such an incredible visual storyteller that we thought we could use some kind of techniques, very fast editing, kind of lenses to kind of show what hyperfocus might kind of look like.
It looks great.
Yeah,
Well done, Fergal. Yeah,
well, Philip Blake is an incredible cinematographer, collaborator of Fergal's. And it looks, you know, so we like the fact that we can have a comedy and lean into the ADHD just in the style of how it's kind of shot and kind of speak to this kind of, you know, this audience now that is regularly distracted and really has a kind of short attention span. It's a show made for people with short attention spans, even if it's not ADHD.
I want to see how yourself and Rebecca get on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
so will there be season two?
Well, I was there at the premiere and Mr. Kevin Backhurst was there and I did say that he said we'd have a second season. Now, he hadn't said that, but I did tell a room full of reporters that with him in the audience and he didn't immediately say, stop, shut up. So it's looking very positive.
Good Boy is available to watch on the RTÉ player. Now, back to live gigs. You're doing the Late Late Tony show.
Yes.
Is this something like your Eurovision one?
This is, consider like I do a fake Eurovision, the Bureau de Change Song Contest. This is that, but for the toy show. It's the toy show that I've always wanted to see.
And have you done it before, or is this a first?
No, this is the very first one. And it's going to be jam-packed full of celebrity guests, free giveaways.
Surprises.
Surprises. That's always a good seller, isn't it? Surprises. I don't know. I can't believe I'm still writing the copy of this description.
Stars to be confirmed.
Stars to be confirmed. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to really mess with the format of the toy show, and it's going to be a toy show for grown-ups, a toy show done right, and it's going to be in Vicar Street. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The Late Late Tony Show, which is 12th of December in Vicar Street. Do you have a website, Tony?
You can go on my Instagram and there's a link on there. So at Tony Horror on Instagram for all the details.
Right.
That's me.
And what about putting something like that out into the world? Because it's very personal, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's two things. It's your story
and
it's your craft to get together in one thing.
It is, yeah. But I suppose it helps me kind of overcome some of the insecurities that I would have had. Like, you know, my character puts out this fairly, you know, naff kind of video about him just doing a kind of Irish mammy kind of thing, which is kind of what I did. And then there's people who kind of come out of the woodwork to try and co-opt it a little bit or make him kind of choose a route of where his kind of artistic journey should be. And that was kind of where I was. I felt like a bit of a blow-in just for having done funny videos and then getting kind of stand-up things. So it helped me kind of overcome elements of that by kind of putting it out there and coming to terms with what I actually think comedy is, you know.
Yeah, so Deirdre O'Kane's in it.
Yes,
Kevin McGarren's in it.
Yes.
Who plays Joe Kane? I know him.
Peter McGann.
Peter McGann is great as Joe Kane in it. Yeah. And of course, you're starring alongside Rebecca is played by...
The great Marty Breen.
Right.
Marty Breen.
And Lauren is played by Hannah.
Hannah Mamelis, co-writer of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Congratulations again.
Thank you very
Tony
much.
Tony Cantwell, thanks so much for coming in. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTÉ Radio 1.